she produced content first and then utilized that content to expand her reach. And then eventually, when her products and services came out, you know, money just followed, income just followed by providing value first. You figure out things through sharing that content of what you're meant to do, and you start to carve out your own niche from there.
Welcome to Top of Mind, a show where we speak with top marketers, creators, and leaders who are shaping the culture around us. I'm Stuart Hillhouse, and I believe that through great marketing, you can earn the privilege of occupying a tiny sliver of your customer's already overflowing brain. Join me today as we learn what it takes to become top of mind. If you publish things online, either for yourself or for a business, then you know the feeling of sitting down in front of your computer and having to stare at a blank screen to try and compose a brand new post. You need to figure out what it's about. You need to think about how long you want it. You need to think about what message you want to get across. It's a really daunting task. But as my guest today is going to explain, there's a better way to publish content. In fact, you probably already have this content locked away somewhere. You're just not using it to the fullest of its ability yet. My guest today is a best-selling author, public speaker, and digital marketer. Her mission is to help 500 purpose-led businesses over the next 5 years to grow their impact using content. She's the founder of Repurpose Den. Joining me live today, I've got Amber Khan. Thanks a lot for joining me, Amber.
Thank you, Stuart, for having me. It's my pleasure.
I don't know about you, but like that, before I even knew about the idea of repurposing, when I was fresh in the game of trying to get a daily thought out onto social media or blog or whatever content looks like, and my content has certainly changed over the years, but it is a daunting task. You might have these flashes of inspiration and it comes really easy and you're able to get two or three social media days in a row, blast it out, and you feel great. And then other days, even when you're on a roll, you're like, oh man, what am I going to talk about today? You can get in your head really quickly. And so I was wondering how you came to be in the content space, and then we can dive into how you actually think about it.
Yeah, sure. So basically, I have to admit that I started, or let's say, this made a sense to me a lot later in my business journey than it probably did for others. So I was a late starter as well. I've been in business for a while, but not using the content to promote, I guess, or my business, or to basically provide value to others through content. It didn't occur to me, or I guess I didn't look too much into it. I was trying the more traditional marketing ways to sort of put my name out there, or my brand out there, or any sort of value that I could add to other businesses. And it's only much later when you start to, I guess, you know, observe what other marketers are doing. Famous example of being Gary Vee, but you know, everybody knows, you know, what, you know, Gary Vee is everywhere, what he does, but they also know that, my God, he's probably got a lot of people on his team doing that. That's why he's able to do it. But then we also know, you know, people who are thought leaders, they know that their content has to be out there to benefit someone. We in media, we know so many personalities doing that. Oprah, you know, in business, we know Marie Forleo does that very well. She is a great example for millennial entrepreneurs, you know, that she produced content first and then utilized that content to expand her reach. And then eventually, when her products and services came out, you know, money just followed, income just followed by providing value first. So, I mean, the signs have been out there, but I guess it's you know, it's up to us. I you know, I'm a little thick in the head. So it made sense to me much later on in this stage that I was missing out on something, that I'm sitting on so much content and that I should be using it rather than it sitting it in my Dropbox. I should be using it to benefit others and see where that takes me. So that's how I sort of my journey into content repurposing started.
And I think content is kind of a weird word to be using. I think of them as ideas, right? Like you and I have thousands of ideas a day. Everyone who's listening to this has thousands of ideas a day. Sometimes you write them down, sometimes they escape you. But your unique life and the story that got you to where you are currently is unique to you and only you.
Oh, so yes.
you can have, if you say we're like this podcast, we're talking about marketing. There are hundreds of thousands of people before me who have put out marketing ideas, but that's not a big deal to me because my unique angle on it allows it to be unique and attract the people I want to attract. How do you think, what's your definition to content? Let's start there.
I think for me, it's what Dennis Yu talks about, you know, is that we, in anything that we do or we want to do or we're trying to do, we should always talk about why we're doing it first. You know, what do we stand for in life? A mission, because that's what attracts a certain kind of group of people. It's not going to attract everybody, but that's the whole point, right? Right. You, not everybody is your customer, is going to be a fan of yours, is going to be in your tribe. So the whole idea is that when you share your philosophy, your beliefs, your values, your mission, you start to attract a certain group of people who then become your followers, your fans, eventually your customers. So I always, and that's what I personally do, and I share it with others as well. It's, you know, it's not my strategy, but this is what, you know, Simon Sinek in his book talks about as well. Start with why. That's how the content should start. That's what it should start with. You start with why content. And then, of course, you want to share whatever ideas, knowledge, experiences you have. Or even if you personally don't have, like what you're doing, like a podcast or interviews is another great way. You know, you collaborate and everybody shares their own experiences, which, of course, is valuable to the listener, whoever is in your tribe. So, I mean, starting off, that's how I would, if I was to, in fact, start my business today, this is what I would do. Start sharing the reasons why I'm doing this. Then anything that I know could help another, share that kind of content. And of course, then eventually you talk about, and you'll also learn from experience, what are people asking for? Maybe they'll ask for, you know, you do podcasting a lot. Maybe eventually people will ask, Stuart, you're so good at it. Can you teach me how to podcast? You know, how is it, you know, how do you interview people? How do you get guests? All sort of, and then you figure out, aha, I think, you know, that's what I could be doing. Maybe I should start providing podcasting services. And just, you know, the, you know, business sort of, or the idea takes its own course and you figure out things through sharing that content of what you're meant to do. And you start to carve out your own niche from there.
It's through the act of doing it that you actually discover what you should be doing. I've been noticing that with myself. I'm still this is still early stages of what the show is going to be, but it's changed tremendously over the last 6 months as I've learned things, as I've noticed results, as people have contacted me asking questions. The whole show and my reason why I'm doing it stays the same, but the actual people I'm reaching out to and the reasons why I'm talking to you, like these are all things that have been influenced by the experience of doing it. I wouldn't have been able to predict this before starting the show. Yeah,
exactly. You learn so much more just by interacting, engaging with people, whether it's through you sharing content and people commenting and asking you questions, or even sometimes just engaging with other people's content. Like, you know, we met up on LinkedIn and people do, you know, a great way to find out what people are actually thinking about, what's worrying them, you know, what are they looking for right now? And again, it starts from content and then engaging with that content. And you start to find your answers there.
Right. So content repurposing is your bread and butter right now. Tell me a little bit about your process and how you came to that, to figure out what content repurposing looks like at a big scale.
Yeah, sure. So basically, it actually started from my own need and the clients I was working for at that time. Most of them were coaches and speakers, advisors, right? And everybody was very busy doing their business, growing their business. And every time we spoke about, you know, we need to get online. We need to be doing more social media. We need to be active on Facebook. We need to be active on LinkedIn. And everybody was like, yeah, we know we need to do it. We just don't have the time. We just don't even know where to start. You know, I open my LinkedIn or my Facebook page and then I think about, oh, what am I going to post about? There's a blank screen staring, you know, you're staring at a blank screen in front of you and you're like, okay, I just don't have a clue what to do. And obviously it's because, you know, we all realize that there's a need for it. Time is one factor. Then the other factor is that we haven't figured out why do we want to do this? What is the strategy behind this? You know, what will we get out of from marketing on social media? Right. So which means that you first have to figure out if you're already producing content. Let's say you're a speaker, advisor, coach, you've got a lot of content anyway, or you're an author. Right. Then it's about figuring out why you want to do this. So that you can formulate a strategy around your content, and then we figure out, OK, so this is why you want to do this. Choose a platform where your audience is most active from there. So, of course, it's not going to be all the platforms, but start with just one or two. Choose where they are hanging out the most, be it LinkedIn, Facebook, right? And then you decide on the type of content you're going to share. So let's say your main audience is mostly on LinkedIn. Right. So you decide, okay, fine, we're going to formulate a strategy for LinkedIn. What kind of content does my audience want to know about? You know, do they want to see more interviews from credible people? What about my book? Maybe I can share excerpts from my book or the speaking gigs that I did. Right. So once we've figured out the type of content, then it's about knowing that what kind of content people love consuming on those platforms. So every platform has its own preferred choices for the audiences. So for example, Instagram is more of a visual pictures kind of platform. LinkedIn, even texts work very well. YouTube, you know, is for videos. Facebook, again, videos, images do very well. Text, not so much. Very visual platform. So you have to figure out, okay, if that platform requires a certain kind of content, then how do we produce it and what do we need to do to produce that type of content? And research suggests that actually if you're producing videos in any format, whether it's an audio meme or video meme, or if it's a GIF, whatever it is, that content which is under 2 minutes gets the most traction on social media platforms. YouTube is slightly different. People watch longer content, but again, even there, that they say it's about under 10 minutes type of content gets the most traction. So the point being that your content should ideally follow those guidelines, because that's what will get you the most traction, right? Sharing content on social media, it is basically for brand awareness and letting people know your opinions, your beliefs, and your values and what you can help them with, right? And so people have a very short, what do you say, attention span for that. And they usually want the content to be short, sweet, and precise on those platforms.
Would you suggest going, if you're just starting off, to go towards a platform that you feel most comfortable on? So say, I prefer to write and I'm not necessarily very comfortable on video. Should I be going on a platform where writing is rewarded, even if it's not the ideal platform for the customers I'm looking for?
No, I mean, if you already know, I mean, let's say these days, majority of people are on Facebook and on LinkedIn and YouTube. They are everywhere. So you may think that, okay, my audience is everywhere. So in that sense, it wouldn't really matter. You could just choose the platform that you're most comfortable on and produce that type of content. But if you know, let's say that your audience prefers to watch videos and you are more of a blogger, you prefer writing, then you know that even though you may not be comfortable doing it, it's probably worth starting it. It's probably worth doing it. It doesn't have to be perfected or anything. Most of my videos are recorded on mobile phones still, you know, or on my MacBook.
Why not? I mean, my phone definitely has a better camera than the SLR, like big one I bought 5 years ago.
There you go. So I think, because if you're going to produce or put so much effort into producing content and you know that your audience is not in that platform, it's a bit of a bummer. But again, that's not the end of it. I would say that people who are very uncomfortable doing videos, let's say, and you know that you need to do videos, that's when you can use your content, if it's in text form, and convert it into a visual format so that now, even so, your face doesn't have to be in there, but at least you have another type of content that another type of audience can consume. And it's like the message is the same. So those who prefer the text format, they can read your blog or your book. And those who prefer the video could watch pieces of that content in a video format on another platform. So both of the things are possible. Or even I say to, if it's to executives who are totally not comfortable doing videos, they're like, okay, now I don't have the time, or I can't be bothered, or I don't want to do it, right? So then you find a person, a spokesperson in your team or within your company who can do videos, mm-hmm. who is comfortable with it, right? So you the same message comes from a different person. That person sort of becomes the spokesperson to do the visual content for the company, and somebody else does the text content. So a lot of things are possible if you are not comfortable doing one type of content.
And you had a great point there talking about the different formats are not necessary. Like you're allowed to have the same message in written, picture, and video, because everyone learns a little differently. Exactly. A big learning that I had is on a given post, you write some type of post, it might get seen by 500 people. If you're lucky, like we're talking, if everything goes well, it could be seen by a couple hundred people. But thinking about how big your network is, or if you have a large following, you have a huge following, it's not going to get seen by every single person every single time you post. Things go through the feed without capturing your whole audience. So that repetition is actually all right if you repost the same thing, the same idea, but in a different
form.
Wording or a video or a picture or an animation or a GIF. Like it's okay to, it's your content. You're allowed to say it twice. The same way any musician, they don't just play the song once and be like, yeah, all right, I'm done. I hope everyone loves this. They replay it and they make slight variations the next time they perform live. And then the album version's different than their acoustic version. And they just repurpose it as many times.
And they keep on going.
Right.
The same piece of content. And that's the same. And on social media, it's even more important because we all know that the lifespan of a social media post is very, very short. You know, on Twitter, it's 18 minutes. So whatever you tweet about, it doesn't matter how many people liked it or, you know, retweeted it, in 18 minutes, it will be gone.
Yeah,
you know,
it's old news. Yeah,
it's old news. Facebook is 5 hours, something like that. Instagram, another 18 hours or so. And then LinkedIn, 24 hours. So basically, that labor of love content that you produce and put so much effort into it, within 24 hours, it's going to be gone, from this intrasphere. So, which means it doesn't mean, okay, all right, now I got to produce a lot. Even more content, right? I got to write even a bigger 10,000 blog post, but I can't keep writing 10,000 word blog posts every single day. So that's not the idea. The idea is that you produce a great piece of content, whatever format it may be. If you prefer writing, write it. If you prefer recording, if you prefer doing a podcast, do that. But then use that content to reformat into different ways to be consumed by audience who prefer different ways of absorbing that content and producing a different experience each time on various different platforms. And in this way, from one piece of content, you could probably get 30, 40 different pieces of content that you can spread over time on different social media platforms. So basically, I say, squeeze every drop of juice out of your content. Don't let it go to waste. And then move on to the next piece of content.
So as an example, instead of using hypotheticals, let's use a real example. Say you wrote a book and it came out a couple years ago and it was maybe your first book and you didn't know exactly how to negotiate the terms of the contract. And so now you've got whatever, 100,000 words, but it's locked up in a book that's owned by someone else up until a certain date or however your thing is set up.
Yeah.
How can you then unlock that work that you've done, but technically someone else owns for now, and turn that into individual pieces of content that you can then repurpose without breaking that, without legal thing. And we don't need to get into like the exact legalities of it, but if there's a way to work around that, I'd love to talk about that.
I think usually I don't see it being a problem when it's making sales for the publisher, right? So if you say if you're in a contract and, you know, the publisher gets a certain commission of every book sale, I don't think repurposing is going to, unless there's something specific in the contract, it would make they would stop you from doing it, because what you're doing by sharing, all you're doing is creating marketable content for that book so that people get to know about your book. And then, of course, they go on to whatever links you've provided them to buy that book. And wherever that's set up, I'm sure the publishers would have set that up, and commissions of those sales would go to them. So I don't see how it would hinder that, because unless you're promoting then content and saying, oh, go to my private link and buy from there, of course, right, then, you know, that would break your contract. But if you're doing anything, producing any sort of content which would promote the original content that's published by your publisher, I don't see any reason why it can't or it won't work. But if you are, for some reason, in some sort of contract that you cannot share any excerpts from your book, then I guess another way to do that would be because you've written it yourself, so you would know what kind of content you're talking about, and you could share a variation of snippets from that book and do a video version of it, right? So like let's take an example. Let's say your book is about how to lose 5 pounds in 1 week, mm-hmm. right? And you've talked about a whole process in the book. Right. And so instead of taking the exact wordings from the book, right, you may record a video about the first thing you need to do to lose 5 pounds in 1 week. Right. Create a short 2 minute video and share it on social media. Again, reformat it into all sort of different formats for different platforms. You can even convert that into text. Converted into an audio. So you get different pieces of content from doing that one piece of content. But the point being that from the same book, you could take out a different version of that content without breaking your contract, right? And share it over social media. But then again, if you're doing that, you have to first know why you're doing it. What's the purpose? What is the reason? What is the goal here? Is the goal that you want to sell more books? Right. But then obviously you have to provide a link to that. You have to say, you know, share it and say, well, if you want to know more, you know, check out my book. You have to know the goal. Or if the goal is not to sell the books, let's say maybe you just want to build a personal brand and you're not that much worried about the sales of the book. You just want to share some of the content and drive people to, let's say, book a call with you for your coaching. Right. So make sure you're very clear about the goal. Why are you producing the content and why do you want to share it? The goal has to be clear. Otherwise, you will end up sharing a lot of content and then you'll think that nothing's happening. You know, nothing's happening. Nobody's. But it's because you haven't defined your goals. What do you actually want to happen once people consume your content, right? You have to craft that journey for your prospects. If not, they once they watch it, you know, they'll be gone because they won't know what to do next.
Yeah, that's a good point of having, and you personally too, like it's a long game. This isn't going to happen overnight. This is going to take months, probably years before you see a significant growth in your audience or your book sales or whatever, because it's not a one-off message. One post is not going to change your life. It's a thousand posts over 2 years that's going to make
it about consistency. Yeah. I mean, if you look at all the thought leaders, influencers in any niche, they are constantly producing content. And obviously they have mastered that art that they don't sit all day record content. Right? They don't do that. They've all got their own businesses to run, their families to look after. They have just mastered the system that how they're going to produce it and make the most out of it. That's all they do. But what they do know is that they have to stay consistent. They cannot just produce it for 6 months and after that, they just disappear from the internet and hope that it's done the job.
What does your system look like?
So, okay. So mine is I do my preferred way is that because somebody who's starting out, this is what I would recommend as well, is that you start off with recording short videos because that makes life so much easier. So whatever your niche is, whether it's weight loss or it's business or marketing, right? You choose your niche, you find out what are the kind of problems people are facing, what questions are they asking, you know, say on Quora or Amazon, you know, read the reviews, you find out what kind of questions they're asking, and you make a list of all those questions or problems. Yeah. Make a list. And then first you just create a list of all the topics. Then from those topics, I create headlines because that's very important. Right, because without having the right headline, your content is not going to get much traction. Headline, and we know the visuals are very important on social media. So once you've got the list of topics, now create headline for each one of them. So for example, for me, it could be, you know, why do you want to repurpose your content, right? Mm-hmm. Three ways to repurpose your content to expand your reach. That would be the headline, right? Even though the topic is repurposing content, I can, you know, craft 20, 30 different headlines from it. Three mistakes people make while repurposing their content, right? So once you've got your topic, you then refine the headlines from out of that topic. And once you've got the headlines, now you decide, okay, I'm sure you would know from before that whether you want to do text, write a blog about it. Do you want to just record a podcast or do you want to do a video? I personally prefer to start off with videos because from there you can repurpose it into all forms easily. So just 2-minute video, you record a 2-minute video that will become a 2-minute bite-sized podcast as well, right? It will become a blog post, you know, probably like a 1,000 words blog post. And then you also create social media content in form of images, memes, quotes, so much more, 30-second Instagram stories, so much more will come out of that 2-minute video. So if you can batch it up, you know, batch it up. Once you've got your topics and your headlines ready, it's easy to batch it. Record that content. So if you were to choose one day in a week and say, I'm going to dedicate one day a week, 4 hours on that day, batch record this video because you've got your topics, your headlines ready. So all you have to do is now sit in front of the camera and record. But if you don't if you haven't done the work before, it's going to be very difficult. If you were sitting down recording, it's like, okay, what do I talk about now? Mm-hmm, what's the next topic going to be, right? So that will become very, very difficult. So, and also even before that, I would suggest figuring out your goal for this content distribution strategy. So you know your goal. Maybe your goal is to get more traffic to your website, right?
Right.
Fine, great. Find the topics for your niche. Then perfect the headlines, and then now set aside a time where you will batch record your content.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's recorded, now it's whether you do it yourself, you send it to somebody else, that content to get repurposed into various different formats so that you can then schedule that content to go on social media at over the weeks, not all at the same time. Don't share the same content on all the platforms. And this is what I hate seeing. And you know, people do cross platform sharing. So they produce one content and they use softwares which would just automate sending the same content. Hey, tweet about this as well. Send it to Facebook page as well. It just looks so bad because if somebody is Googling you, right, and or they came across your content, let's say on LinkedIn, they then check out you ask them to go check out your Facebook group, they check it out and the same piece of content is there as well, right? And then they check out it too, same thing, right? Instead of, because these are all touch points, you could share different valuable information in those touch points rather than giving them exact same thing and then they'll be like, I don't think this person's got anything else to say. It's just boring, right? I just saw this. I just heard this, right? But imagine if they go through all those touch points and every single time they have a different experience, a positive experience, right? Got a valuable information out of it, which was unique to them. Then you know you're already they're already so much closer to you than they were when they first started that journey with you.
Yeah, I love that. That system's really great. The idea of researching first, going really broad, and then narrowing it into headlines.
Yeah.
Because I think what a lot of people do, especially if you are really knowledgeable in a certain area, is you think that you need to explain the topic from beginning to end in order for someone to find value in what you have to say. But what I like what you're saying is you've already gone and found the root problems, then you've been able to surface to a topic, and then you put the headline, and then you only talk 2 minutes about that specific, like, really important thing, and that's it. You don't start addressing the whole problem. You don't start addressing the whole topic. You don't give them back. You can give them a tiny bit of background, but only if it's relevant to the answer that you're about to solve.
Yeah. Because on social media, we need to make sure that we are producing very relevant, very precise, and short content, because we know research proves that the people do not want to consume content more over 2 minute long. So make it 2 minute or under 2 minute, right? But give them real, real fine value in that, which is very specific to what they came to find out, right? So if the headline says three ways to increase productivity, make sure you give them three ways in the 2 minute video, and that's it. That's
awesome.
It.
I love that. That's great. And then also the cross-platform stuff. Tell me if this is kind of wrong, but can you then maybe stagger the days so that it's not the exact same content? Like, they say you're saying you wrote your post about how to lose 5 pounds in a week. Would you maybe then post that one on Monday on LinkedIn, and then on Tuesday on Twitter, and then Wednesday on Instagram, because then you've kind of got this like waterfall. So everything's offset. Is that, I don't know if that's kind of cheating, but that was my immediate first idea, is like, you should be using the same content, but spread it out so that each platform has kind of like a unique curation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is what we do when we provide service to clients, when I do it for myself, I have a big spreadsheet for that, which the VA looks after. And they're actually tools which makes it very visual as well, where you can set up your content management calendar. And that's what it's for, that once you have produced that content, you've got all the assets, you've repurposed that content as well. So now let's say you've got 30 pieces of digital assets, and now you want to now schedule them on social media for various platforms. And it should be that if on LinkedIn you're sharing one piece of content on Monday, then you can share the same piece of content maybe a week later on Facebook. So I wouldn't even, I mean, it's up to you. People can do it the next day. I actually at least give a 7 days break, sometimes even more, between sharing the same piece of content on a different platform. So if you have batch recorded, it makes it so much easier, because you already have a lot of content. So Monday to Friday, let's say on LinkedIn, you're sharing all unique content. And from, let's say, something that you shared on Monday on LinkedIn, now you can share on next Monday on Facebook, a one version of it, the Facebook square video version of it, and text version on LinkedIn maybe. Right. And do the same for all the platforms and for all the type of content as well. So for example, when you recorded that video, it's a 2 minute video, you can also take out quotes out of it and make images from those. So maybe on Monday you shared that video, and on Monday on Facebook you shared a quote from that recording instead of sharing the actual video, right? So this way it doesn't seem like you are repeating the same content on all the platforms at the same time. But you are going to use the same content on all the platforms, but in a little clever way.
And there's a reason why they're called assets. Like, you own them. You can do whatever you want with them. You don't need to reinvent the wheel every single time you sit down to make something. And the best analogy I've heard so far is that your content becomes Lego blocks. This is from a guy named David Perel, who writes a ton, and he writes about online writing. He says, every single thing you write and publish out there is a new Lego block. And it doesn't need to make sense at the beginning. Like, a Lego set doesn't make sense at the beginning. You've just got tons of blocks. They're all different shapes. They're all different sizes. They're all different colors. But the purpose, but the value is you've created them. They don't go anywhere. So create as many as you can. And then when it comes time to building a product or selling a service or doing something with those blocks, you now have all of them in front of you and you're like, okay, what can I build out of this? And you've already done 80% of the work. And so writing a book after publishing a year and a half worth of snippets isn't that hard because you've already written the book. It's just in 120 character slices. You just need to put together 500 pieces and then all of a sudden you've got a book.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, another great way to use the content is I say that if once you are very clear on the goal, let's say you're launching a product, right? So you know what product you're launching. And let's say that product is about providing some sort of marketing services to find more leads. For example, maybe it's a digital course, right? So now you know that's the goal. You want to get more, you want more people to know about your new product, which you're about to launch. Okay, so how are you going to do that? Well, you need to share content about that product first, right? You need you need to first warn people about what problem you're solving, right? So then now you know the goal to create content which is in line with that goal. And if it isn't, then you're going to be wasting your time pretty much. You can still produce it and it may help you in the long run, but it will be a waste of time if it's not in line with that goal, right? So make sure that you now start producing content which solves a particular problem for people who may end up buying that product from you. So produce that type of content, repurpose it and share it. And then the whole idea is that you using all of those digital assets, you drive traffic to the product that you're about to launch.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of the new model right now is build an audience first, build a product later. Okay, Amber, this has been awesome. There's been so much good stuff here. For me, especially, like I'm still refining it and that system's really helpful. I got one more question for you and then I'll let you get back to the nice sunny day in London.
Yeah,
but what is your favorite kind of content that you personally respond to? Like what stops your thumb from scrolling when you're on your personal feeds?
For me, it's videos.
Yeah.
Even though initially I still am quite reluctant at making videos, but I know myself that I just watch videos. I hardly ever read blog content. Yeah. You know, when you go to some blog posts and they have a video embedded in that blog post as well, I usually skip all the text, go straight to the video and watch the video because I don't have the patience to read the text. So I'm more of a visual person. I prefer videos, watching videos. Even on LinkedIn, when people share videos and there's a text above it as well, right? There's a post and then there's a video. I usually don't even read the post. if it has a video, I'll go straight to the video. But then there's some people who are not video people at all, you know, and that's fine. They're all sort of people. Some people prefer reading. They can read tons and tons. Some people love listening to podcasts. You know, they listen to it every day. That's their medium of knowledge or learning every day. And some people are video. For me, it's videos.
That's awesome. Okay. Thank you so much, Amber. This has been super helpful. And your company, Repurpose Den, offers this. You can outsource all this work. There's tons going on, but you've got a formula, you've got a system, and you help your clients to really capture the most value from their thoughts as possible.
Yeah, basically if you don't have the time to do it yourself, you know, you come to us or anybody like us who can do this for you at ease and speed. Not everybody can do it on their own or wants to do it on their own. Mm-hmm. But so you can also, if you have the time, you know, do it yourself. But if not, we at Repurpose Den can help you repurpose all of your content. So you don't have to worry about anything. It's distribution ready content for you. You just take it and then spread it all over social media.
And you can give Repurpose Den a try for free at Repurpose Den. That's repurposeden.com/test drive us. And there's a hyphen between each word there. repurposeden.com/test drive us. Amber, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Stuart. It's been my pleasure.
Hold up before you take off. I've just got something quick to tell you about. If you made it this far in the episode, I'm assuming you found the conversation to be interesting. Thank you so much for listening, but I want to give you more. You see, I send an email every week called Top of Mind Weekly. And this is where I share a lot more in-depth stuff of what's top of mind to me. A lot of this stuff I don't share anywhere else. And so if you want to get access to it, you need to be on that email list. The way to do that is to open up your email application. If you're on your phone or if you're on your desktop, just open a new window, go to your mail app and compose a blank message to topofmind@bcast.email. That's a blank email, no subject line, nothing, to topofmind@b, as in bunny, cast.email. Once you're on that list, you'll have access to all that great content and you'll have access to me. If you reply to any of those emails, that is my priority in responding to questions. So blank message to topofmind@bcast.email. See you there.